as we continue our journey with Jesus and the disciples and the appearances that he made after his crucifixion and resurrection, we find ourselves today in John chapter 21. If you'll turn there in your copy of Scripture, the last chapter in the Gospel of John. John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we have gathered in this place because we do love you. And even though that love is not always completely obvious in the ways that we compromise for lesser things than your kingdom, you know in our heart of hearts that we love you. And so this morning, would you open our hearts only to love you more? Would you help us fathom how great is your love for us? We have declared our love for you through song and through prayer, and now we listen. And as we dig into your word, would you reveal your love for us? These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Love is a tricky word, isn't it? We use it for such a conglomeration of things in the English language, for pizza, for Fridays, for the mountains, for the Seahawks, my job, my family, and also my Lord and my Savior. The same word is used to show our devotion to pizza as to show our devotion to our God. And so it's no wonder that we can often become confused on what love really is. Is love just an affection? Is it just an emotion? Kind of this warm, gushy feeling that we get from time to time. Is love just something that we like a whole lot? Is it just a preference that we have? What is love? In its most genuine sense, when it is pure and undefiled, what is love? And how do we distinguish the degree to which we love one thing compared to another thing? Do we just add descriptors to it? I love it with all my heart. Or I love him like a brother. I love her like a sister. Do we try to prove what our feelings are through extravagant acts? Or do we do something different altogether? These are the kind of questions that we encounter here in John 21. Three times, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? What are these? How do I know if I do? What if my love for Christ isn't where it should be? What does that mean? What am I to do? And with all these questions in mind, we meet Peter this morning. If you remember Peter, he's the one who's professed his love for Jesus on more than one occasion throughout the Gospels. He's the one who first identified Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God. And then later on, when many disciples began to walk away because Jesus' teachings were becoming very difficult, Peter's the one who spoke up and he said, Lord, we will not leave you. He said, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. And then whenever Jesus said that some of his disciples would betray him in that upper room, Peter's the one that spoke up and he said, never. He said, Jesus, even if I must die with you, I will not betray you. Peter, the one whose words indicated love, genuine love for Christ, again and again and again. And yet, if you know the story, you know that when those words were put to the test, when real, gritty action was required, Peter's capacity to love kind of cratered. In Jesus' great time of need, when all had fled, when there was not a friend in sight to be found, when Peter could have showed his love in the most extravagant way possible, he denied Christ, not one, but three times. Said, I do not know that man. I tell you, I do not know him. Can you imagine letting down one that you thought you loved so deeply and so dearly? Letting down one that you knew had never shown you anything but true and genuine love. I've been there times in my life. Sometimes we hurt the ones who love us the most, the deepest. I bet you've been there too. And in John 21, that's the place we find Peter, having thought that he loved the Messiah more than anyone else, and realizing that he let him down more than anyone else. Those days between Christ's crucifixion and his resurrected appearance, I wonder how many times Peter had sat in his own home and his heart wrestled with those questions, wondering, do I even know what love is? Has my love always been only a thought, but nothing real, nothing of substance? Am I just a selfish person? Am I just a fraud? Am I unable to love? Am I incapable of receiving love? With all these questions in mind, what does he do? But he goes back to fishing, back to that life that he knew before Jesus stepped in and asked him to change everything. Peter goes back to that world that he had once mastered, where he didn't feel so inadequate all the time, that world where he knew how to make it without failing, where he knew how to make it without letting people down. And it's into this scene of one who had loved so inadequately that Jesus appears with the question. And the question that I want to sit on for a bit this morning is that very first one especially, where he says to Peter, do you love me more than these? These is kind of a vague word. And I think intentionally so. You see, a lot has happened in this scene leading up to the question. And a lot has happened between Jesus and Peter up to this point altogether. And a lot will happen afterwards. So what is Jesus asking exactly? What are the these of do you love me more than these? What does it mean to love him more than them? See, Jesus finds Peter back in the boat, dragging the other disciples out to sea with him. I'm going fishing, he says. And they say, we'll go with you. Is the these of do you love me more than these perhaps the life that Peter knows and has already mastered so well? Is it that life that he could so easily fall back into when discipleship seems far too hard? Is it that place where he might find comfort when the words and the calling of Christ become much too demanding? More than the life that you're comfortable with, Peter. More than the world you know so well, Peter. More than your love for comfort and peace with the status quo. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Then again, when Jesus asked Peter the question, Peter is sopping wet because Jesus had just yelled out to the fishermen and told them to cast their net to the side of the boat. Peter recognized that voice, and he knew that promise before that said, you're going to catch some fish. And John told him, he said, it's the Lord. And in that moment, Peter bailed, jumped out of the boat, and began to swim to Jesus. He couldn't get there fast enough. I always love Peter's impulsivity. Gets him in trouble sometimes, but it's the real deal. He throws on some clothes. We talked this morning upstairs. It seems a bit backwards. He got dressed to get in the water. He dives in, leaves others to haul in the catch, and it says they're only 100 yards away. He could have been there in a few moments anyway, but that wasn't fast enough because the Lord was back, and he was back at the work that had drawn Peter to him in the first place. Remember that first call? Peter was out fishing, and he found the Lord, and he said, come and follow me. He was at it again. And in a moment, Peter remembered that the disciples were not going to be left alone and that death was not the end. This was a good moment. It's almost too good to be true. And so I wonder if the these and do you love me more than these might refer to such moments as these. Peter, do you love me more than just those moments of awe and wow that I provide from time to time? Do you love me more than the warm fuzzies and the too good to be true encounters? Peter, do you love me even when I don't feel so near? Even when I'm not standing right here on the shore waiting for you? Peter, do you love me when I don't give you a massive catch? But when I lead you into the temple courts to be questioned right beside me. Peter, do you love me even when my teachings are difficult? Even when the thorn in your side remains? Yes, I know Paul had a thorn in his side, but I guarantee you Peter did too. Peter, do you love me even when my expectations seem far too great? More than just moving worship services, more than favorite hymns, more than just times of intimacy with the Savior that we'll never forget, more than just signs of miracles, more than those moments when the curtain between heaven and earth seems so very thin, Peter, if these never happened again, would you still be with me? Do you love me even more than the shock and the awe? Do you love me more than these? Along with that, Jesus had just given Peter this great catch of fish. That for sure pay some bills for at least a few weeks, maybe a few months. And Jesus has just cooked him breakfast. I wonder if the these and do you love me more than these might refer to all those things that Jesus could do for Peter. It says, when you first followed Peter, you thought that I might could make you something great. You thought you might be second in charge to this new king. And with the king comes a kingdom. And with the kingdom comes riches and power galore. Jesus is saying, but I didn't give you any of that, did I? Do you still love me? Peter, if the fish never bite again, if you're left to make your own breakfast from here on out, would you love me even still? Have you ever had a friend who valued you simply for what you could do for him or for her? When I was in the Middle East and I would meet friends there, it didn't take 5 minutes to know the ones that want to be my friend just so I could teach them English or perhaps help them get to America. And I could tell within 5 minutes those ones who wanted to be my friend just because they wanted to be my friend, just because for some reason they kind of liked me. And I liked those ones better too. You see, it's really, really hard to have a genuine relationship and thus to have genuine love when someone just wants to be your friend for what you can do for them. So I wonder if Jesus is saying, you know, even more than heaven, even more than healing, even more than hope on your bad days, even more than the gift of joy and of peace, even more than the signs of my love, do you love me just for me? Peter, do you love me for who I am, not for what I can give you? Do you love me more than these? Then I wonder if Jesus' eyes weren't looking around at those other disciples that were standing by Peter's side when he asked the question. It tells us there was Thomas, Nathanael, James, John, and two others. These were Peter's friends, his co-workers. Over the last 3 years, they had become like brothers to him. They had been through a lot together. And they had all given each other permission to go back to the sea and to fish together. Could the these, and do you love me more than these, could it be the people in our lives that give us comfort and value? Could it be the people that we love with all of our hearts? Could it maybe even be the ones who don't demand all that much from us because they're actually a whole lot like us? Peter, do you love me even when my expectations are greater than theirs? Peter, do you love me even when I love you too much to let you just stay where you are, though they'd be happy to? Peter, do you love me even when I call out your shortcomings in order to bring you to repentance? When my companionship is more difficult to embrace, do you love me still? When being consumed by me might even mean that you have to become a little bit less consumed by them, be they friends or spouses or parents or children or grandchildren. Peter, do you love me more than these? In just a few moments, Jesus will ask Peter again, do you love me? And then again, do you love me? Three times. Just as Peter had let Jesus down three times with his denial. Three times he's asked, Peter, what's real? Do you love me? And with all the possibilities of what the these could be in mind, Peter answers the best he knows how. And all three times he says, yes, Lord, I love you. Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Maybe an equally genuine response would have been, Lord, you know that I want to love you. Sometimes I don't know if I really do, but help me know how to know if my love is genuine and if it's real. And to each response, Jesus gives an interesting reply. He says, so be it. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Follow me. You see, in it all, Jesus seems to be saying that the proof of genuine love is not just the warm fuzzies we get or the positive thoughts we have toward Jesus, that the proof of genuine love is not simply reciting poetry or writing an extra long journal entry about how much we love. It's not a dozen roses. These are all good things, but they aren't the proof that love is real. Genuine love, real love, is seen in the lives that we live. It's seen in our posture towards others. It's seen in how seriously we follow in the footsteps of the one that we claim to love. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Then feed, tend, follow. If you love me, Jesus says, then do more than just say you love me with your mouth. If you love me, he says, well, guess what? My people, they need a shepherd. So go out and be that shepherd. And if you love me, you'll be the kind of shepherd that I am. And remember, that's the kind of shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. That's the kind of shepherd that runs after even that one sheep that nobody else even seems to care is missing. The kind of shepherd who takes the time to actually be with and know the sheep and gain their trust so that whenever they hear my voice, they know me and they follow me. If you love me, be the shepherd that's with the people, investing your life in them. Be the kind of shepherd that leads my people into pastures that give life, into streams of living water that nourish. Be the one who is about the work of actively building up my church and my kingdom on this earth. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Great. He says, then be the kind of follower that loves others. So much so that it hurts sometimes. So much so that it might cost you a lot. Maybe even your life in Peter's case. And you see, it's in the laying down of our lives and the loving others as God loves them that we actually live out a love that is genuine for all the world to see. It's in the laying down of our lives and loving others so much that it hurts that we live out a love that is genuine for our good Father God to see. He doesn't want to just hear, oh, I love you. He wants to see, oh, I love you. And you know what the really good news in all this is? Even when our love wavers, which it will, even when we fail to love God and love others like we are called to do, even still, Jesus meets us again and again, and he commissions us to get up and to do his work again and again. Even when our love wavers, even still, Jesus gives us a place in his kingdom and life-giving work to do. Soon after this encounter with Peter, Jesus ascends into heaven, and he sends his Spirit to earth to help his people continue this good work he began. And even after all they had been through together, even after this powerful conversation on the banks of the sea, Peter still had days where he chose to love these more than he chose to love Jesus Christ. Proof of that is found in Galatians, the second chapter, verses 11 through 14 there, we find Paul calling Peter out for hypocrisy. Paul's mad at him because it appears that Peter had been in this habit of eating with the Gentile people, of being a friend to all the nations, of doing the Great Commission to a T. And then the other disciple, James, he sends some good Jewish believers to Peter, and Peter sees that these were his people, and he should try to impress them. And so in order to get in good with the Jewish believers, Peter begins to neglect to sit with the Gentiles while the Jewish believers are around. In a moment, he fails his friends. In a moment, he fails to love. He treats them as if they were less than any of the other believers. He says, you know, there's a ladder here, and you're down here. When these guys are around, they are more important than you. And the tragic thing is that Peter's influence was so great. Just like in John 21, I'm going fishing. They say, we are too. On this day when he says, I'm not sitting with the Gentiles, other disciples followed his example and quit sitting with the Gentiles as well. Not only were they neglected from receiving love from Peter, but from other people of God too. Peter's love had failed. His ability to shepherd like Jesus had shepherded had fallen short. His choice to lay down his life, at least maybe just his pride, for the sake of others, so they might know that they were loved, it simply didn't happen on that day. And yet, the story still wasn't finished. Again, perhaps in a moment of silent prayer and confession, perhaps with the Spirit nudging his heart, Peter had to face that question again. Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, I want to. I need some help. Can imagine he said, Lord, give me some work to do so I can try out my love again. Give me another chance to live out my love by loving others like you do. I'll do better next time. And so God did. The God of many chances. We've got all kinds of stories of Peter loving the church well, of Peter living into the kingdom come to earth as it is in heaven. We've got a world in desperate need of genuine love from God and from us. And each time our love wavers, he simply says, do you love me? Great. Let's try loving them again and again. The question we all must entertain today from Jesus' lips to our hearts, do you love me more than these? Do you? If you're sure that you do, then might you hear Jesus say this morning, great, let's get to work. Let's start by caring for my people. Do you love me more than these? If you don't know how to tell if you love him more than these, then might you hear Jesus say this morning, that's okay. Let's get to work. Start by tending to the needs of my world, and before you know it, you'll know. And even still, do you love me more than these? If this morning you're actually quite sure that you don't yet love him like that, but you would like to explore what love for him could be, might you hear Jesus speak into your heart, great, well then let's get to work. You can start figuring this out by loving who I love. And at the end of the day, wherever you are, I can assure you that if you have poured yourself out loving my people, you will have truly fallen in love with me. Because it's really hard to fall in love with the creation without finding yourself absolutely smitten by the Creator. Do you love me more than these? Yes. I don't know. No. It's okay. Get to work. And love them. And before you know it, you're going to love me like crazy. Do you love me more than these? What are the these for you? What competes in your love? What competes in your heart? For total abandon. For total devotion to our Lord. What competes? What are your these? Hear him ask this day, do you want to love me more than these? And hear him say, great, there's a way to do that. Let's get to work. You can start by loving my people, all of them. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, on the banks of the Sea of Tiberias, we see your mercy and your grace. The one who had just days before denied you 3 times, you looked him in the eyes, gave him a chance to profess his love for you anew, and you gave him work in your kingdom to do. No longer would he be known as the betrayer, but as the rock of your church for generations to come. What a picture of your mercy and of your grace. And God, we come into this place, and our love for you is all across the board. Some of us are overwhelmed, consumed by our love for you. We can't get enough of asking you for opportunities to show it in this world, to love your people. We give you thanks that in our passion, you stick with us and you keep fanning that flame. And Lord, some of us in here come in not even really knowing who you are. We're not even quite sure if this is all real. And so to ask us to love someone who was on this earth 2,000 years ago, and we're not quite sure where you are today, we're just a bit at a loss. And we thank you that you know our hearts there too, and that you are a God who shows us in this passage you're full of compassion and mercy and grace, and you find us where we are and invite us into your work in that very place. And so for those of us just now figuring it out, guide us in your wisdom and give us work to do even as we're growing in our love, because we want to love you more than these. Help us, we pray. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.